Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we praise your name. And as we begin our journey during Lent, we ask you, Lord God, to be with us. And we know that you will be with us because you are our merciful and loving God. Speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Your children are listening. Speak a word for us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God. For you are our refuge. You are our God, our Savior. And Lord God, we beseech you this day again for the people of Ukraine. We cry out to you for those children. And
yes, Lord.
Lord God, as we are seeing a man and two of them crying over their dead children, Lord God,
mercy, Lord.
It breaks your heart. 16-year-old boy and an 18-month-old baby, dying children, dying, Lord God, please step in. We know that you're there, but we're beseeching you to step in, Lord, and bring a stop to this. You and you alone can. Lord God, we're asking you, touch the hearts of humanity, Lord. Men and women who have allowed evil to take over their heart. God, have mercy. Please, in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so as we come today, we are, as it says, as you could see from I shouldn't look over there, I have the slides here. It is habit that I turn my head sideways, but I'll get used to it. I do have the slides here now. Jesus is in the desert, right? We heard that in the Luke text, and this is one of the texts that we hear, we read at the beginning of Lent. We always read that, or it always comes, that Jesus is in the desert, and we know that the enemy is going to test him, want to test him. The enemy, Satan, will come to test him. And I always try to remind us that if the enemy is testing Jesus, certainly we are nothing for him. We only can overcome it because of Jesus Christ, our relationship with him. And so as we go to the next slide, I read this, my title is a 40-day challenge and of my sermon, and not realize even that the youth are having, using the 40-day challenge for their 40-day of fasting and reflection. And you know, I was watching the Amazing Race, which I like that program because it goes all over the world. And some places that you've been to are places that you've never been to, and you could see the places. But you could see these folks are determined they are, right? They're in pain and they're hurting, but they are determined to complete that race. Determined to get that $1 million job prize at the end. Even when you're hurting, you see them, those couples, those teams of two, seeking with all desperation to get it. So I looked at this survey. I found a survey, and I was hoping that I would have a survey that was newer than the one we have. But this survey on the top temptations was done in 2011, right? And it says, here are the numbers, worrying or being anxious, 60%, right? The top 10 surveys, worrying or being anxious, 60%. Procrastinating or putting things off, 60%, because they did a survey asking folks. Eating too much, 55%. I thought that would be much more. Eating too much. I certainly thought that would be 75%. But I'm sure if they did it now, it might be higher. Spending too much money on media, 44%. You know, that has changed, right? Because we're spending a lot more on, because we have more choices now. And then I'm being lazy, 41%. Next slide. And it continues, spending more money than they could afford, 35%. Gossiping about others, 26%. Not in this church, we don't gossip. Being jealous or envious of others, 24%, when they, you know, tabulated it. Viewing pornography or sexually explicit material, 18%. That must have changed by now, with all the other mediums that we have. And then abusing alcohol or drugs, 11%. So when they were asking folks things that were temptations, those were the numbers they received. Now, when asked if they tried to do anything specific to avoid giving into a temptation, 41% said yes, 51% said no. I don't do anything about it, 51%. 59%. All right? And so they just let it happen. Let those temptations happen. But I'm hoping that during Lent, we're not going to just let those temptations happen. Right, friends? Now, when people were asked why they give in, next slide, when people were asked why they give in to temptations, the top four reasons were, I am not really sure, 50%. Next point, to escape or get away from real life, 20%. That makes sense, right? Just to get away. To feel less pain or loneliness, 8%. Makes sense? To satisfy other people's expectations of me, 7%. And saying why people give in to temptations. Next slide. And so I put up a picture showing you how overcoming the 40-day challenge. We're either going to be in the desert. You see where you see that 40-day challenge is like you're in a desert. We're either going to be in a desert, or some of us are going to be what? Climbing up a ladder, right? Trying to get there and coming down. And this was done by a rabbi. It says, the 40-day challenge, a daily Jewish insights to prepare for the high holidays. Some of us are going to be, you know, we go up and then something happens and then we fall down and I must give you a joke on this. Yesterday, there is a pastor. She pastors a church on Long Island, but she's not ordained as yet, or she's not even consecrated as a local pastor as yet. So she has to bring her communion to an elder to get it blessed before she, and then she's serving it today. So I've been doing it for her, and she brings one of her persons with her. So she came yesterday, so funny, I've been doing it a while. She came yesterday with him and for me to consecrate the communion so that she could serve it. It is part of our discipline. And so when she came, she always brings a little flowers to thank me because she's coming from Bayville. But guess what she brought yesterday to thank me? A dish of cookies. I said to her, why did you do that today? Right? And I'm not even a big cookie eater, but the moment I saw it, I think I gave it to Ellen this morning. I had to go to my office and I said, I'm not going to try that. Right, and she's been coming and she's never brought cookies. But yesterday she brought a container of these little cookies. And I says, why did you bring that today? You know, you're tempting me. you're making that. And she started to laugh. She says, aren't you fasting or something? She says, yes, I didn't even think about it. And then the bread that she bought for me to break looked so delicious, more than I've ever seen bread before. You know, and good thing I couldn't eat it. I mean, we wouldn't eat the communion bread. We're all looking at it. And I just tried to tell you that is what happens, right? So I was at the bottom of the ladder here because it's just a beginning. And already I was going to what? Lose out on climbing the thing. But to tell you, church, I never relented. Doesn't mean I don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now, but I'm taking what? A day at a time. Amen? A day at a time with the Lord, not to relent. Okay. So we see we have to be overcoming our 40 days. Next slide. So overcoming the 40-day challenge, how to handle temptation, we have to learn from Jesus. Amen? And that's how when we get to the text that was read, the Luke text. Remember now, temptation comes in moments of need. Temptation always comes in moments of need, right? You'll be fine, and the moment there's a need, temptation comes. Here's what the scripture says in Luke. I showed this, Luke 4:2, right? And it says, Jesus, but I'll read from the beginning. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those 40 days, and when they were over, he was famished. Jesus was hungry, right? Because Jesus was Son of Man, right? Before he became the divine, right? So Jesus was famished, and guess who showed up? The devil. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, I will command this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Jesus is using the scriptures to cast out Satan. It is written. Amen? So Jesus was famished. You see it in the beginning of Luke. He was hungry because 40 days he did not eat, and the enemy is coming to tempt him. Do you not think that's what he was doing to me yesterday? I'd been on a Zoom call from 9 o'clock. I was from Zoom. I had to be from 9 to 3. But I had to be with the Bible study from 10 to 11. So I was on from 9 to 10. I was trying to do two Zoom. I had one Zoom on, and then I jump on with the conference, with our conference, and our bishop was there. And I'm listening to two. Yeah, I did not eat, and I'm trying to, Susan knows that, when you're listening to two Zoom. And once I jumped off that Zoom at 11 o'clock, the Bible study, I went right back on to the other one. The one that for the conference, and so I didn't have a chance to eat because they had us break at 1:30, and I ran and had a hard-boiled egg. But I was hungry, so that's why I was tempted to go eat those cookies. And that's what the enemy will do, tempt us to eat. But we have to remember that we must know the Word of God, and we have to be in relationship with God. We don't even have to know scriptures like Jesus, because Jesus is the Word in flesh. It is the Word of the Lord. It is not the Word of God. I've said this over. It is the Word of the Lord. He is the Word in flesh. John tells us, right? He is the Word. And so he knows the Word, and he says, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, because he knows the Word. Second point, temptation will deceive you. Do you know temptation will deceive us? It will tell us all things. Let's look at Luke 5-7, and I'll read it. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He's showing him all the kingdoms of the world, right? And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I could give it to anyone I pleased. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. What was the devil doing? He was tempting Jesus with material goods, right? He says, I'll give you everything. How many of us have been tempted by the deceiver? Satan is a deceiver. He'll tell us, go do that, right? He'll say to the young people, or even grown people, folks, you know, you could have a whiff of that marijuana. It's not going to do anything. Somebody else may have a whiff of, you know, may smoke marijuana. It doesn't mean nothing. But, you know, I probably go smoke it, and guess what? Then it pushes you to go have another drug, right? Entices you to have another drug. He will deceive you. He doesn't tell you the end result. He doesn't show you what the consequences is going to be. When we sin against God, there are consequences that we must bear. But Satan doesn't tell you. He tells you all the wonderful things, right? And he wants you to worship him. Right? That's what he said to Jesus. I worship. You could worship me. I'll give you everything and you could worship. Number three. Temptation will confuse you. Right? It will confuse us. And if you look into the scriptures in Luke 4 and 9 to 11, you'll see it. He says, then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. The devil now is using scriptures to speak to Jesus, because the devil knows scriptures. Do you know that? He was an angel, right? That was thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be God. So the devil will come back at us with scripture to confuse us, right? He says, then the devil says, and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angel concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Because the scriptures did not say we who are Christians should go up on a high temple and a pinnacle and throw ourselves down. It did not say that. It says, you know, that he'll bear you up in your hands in case you are in a situation. He doesn't say you should test God and then demand God to help you. Right? That's what the devil was trying to confuse Jesus. But that's not what the scripture said. So we have to be careful that temptation will confuse us. And if we're not in the Word and we don't know the scriptures, we will be confused. And remember, you don't always have to know it verbatim to be saying it, but you gotta be familiar with it. Amen? And if you don't know it, you just have to call on the name of Jesus. You just have to say, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Have mercy, Jesus. Just call on him. And when the devil, I told somebody this week, I don't know who I was talking to, there are times, all you got to say, it is written, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. You will not have my child. You will not destroy the life of my husband. It is written that you will not do it. Because I will pray to my Savior. Amen? Next slide. All right, now, the believer's responsibility to overcome temptation. We have a responsibility to overcome temptation. Amen? We the believers. Number one, the first point, be conscious of God's provision to help you in any tempting situation. Be conscious of it, that God will help you in any tempting situation. That's what Psalm 91 says. It says it. That's an amazing psalm. I'd like to give that psalm to everyone who don't know it. Read it. Read it over your children. Read it in your house. When they diagnose you with an illness, read it. It is a psalm, assurance of God's protection. Now, I did not put all the verses here, but just the verses from the lection. It says, you who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That means when you abide with the Lord, right? Yeah, we'll say to the Lord, right? The child of the Almighty, we'll say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You want to declare that I trust in you, God, no matter what my circumstance. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, and no scourge come near your tent. I want to tell you something. I might have told the Bible study yesterday, I think. When I moved up to Connecticut, it was a huge house, you know, one of those old Connecticut houses, really for big families, and with many rooms, and you know, you could get kind of afraid when you're a new pastor and moving to a new place. And people had said, oh, they saw people in there, and they were telling me they see things in there. And the woman, the pastor's wife before me, or two before me, died in there. So the other part, you know, you don't know. We hear things at night, and we see things at night. I says, oh, Lord, have mercy. Now I can't leave. It's my appointment. And it has, you know, four beds. And I'm sleeping upstairs, and my family had come up to pack up and pack everything, but they're gone. And I'm the only one in the house. And to tell you the truth, one night, I'm in the house. I'm in bed, maybe about 4 in the morning. And I was sleeping, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. You know, when you feel like there is something of the spirit world, the outer spirit world over you, and I could not, and I'm trying to get out of it. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. You know it's not of God. And I'm trying to breathe, and all I could hear myself when I finally come out of it, I again myself, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I was saying, and I was so happy. I got up, and I thought to myself, where am I going to go? I can't leave. This is where I'm living. And I got my Bible and Psalm 91, because I've done it all the time. And I got my oil, and I walked through the house, and I begin to anoint it, reading this psalm, when it says, for he will command his angel concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. I begin to read, and I read it over. For those who love me, I will deliver, I will protect them. And I read it in every room of the house, upstairs and downstairs. Over an hour I read it, anointing, asking the Lord. And then about 5:30 I went to bed, because I had to live there. So I can't leave. Of course, when I came to this house, I did say this house is very clean. When I came to this house, I anointed. I never stay in a house. I never move into a place without anointing it first. I'm reading this psalm. Because it's a psalm of protection. And you know what happened? I'm sure the spirit, the ghost, said, she's crazier than me. He says, she's crazier than me, so I'm leaving. Right? And I lived in that house for 11 years. And anytime I felt something, I was with the Bible. The name and the oil. When I came here, I anointed this house with the Bible, and I have not had any problem here. Because they saw me coming, and they said, she's coming again. But because I believe it, I believe that God will protect you. So be conscious of God's provision to help you in any tempting situation. And for those of you who don't know Psalm 91, it's there in your Bible. It's a psalm of protection. The Israelites read that the night when the angel of death was passing over. Amen. Next point, take heed to God's word. Be in God's word. How are we going to overcome temptation during Lent? Be in God's word. You don't have to read a lot, but you know, get some reflection. The upper room is here, has nice simple reflection and scriptures. You know, take heed to God's word. Pray for the strength. Pray to God for the strength, right? So that you will have strength to overcome. Next point. You know, forego, next slide, forego self-gratification, right? Just forego it. That is going to take care of self. Forego it. During Lent, try not to. You know, you want to eat something, drink a bottle of water. And just as I'm not going to eat it, and let me tell you, it will go. Praise God. Next point, grow into spiritual maturity. Begin to grow. Spiritual maturity. Paul would say, from drinking milk to eating solid food. Amen? Next point, surround yourself with people of Christian character. Don't surround yourself with people who want you to be sinning. Because if you do, they're going to what? Make you sin. They're going to want to take you to the bar or make you do something you ought not to do. Surround yourself, people, with Christian character. Resist the devil. Huh? Scripture says, draw near to God, and the devil will flee. Resist the devil. Amen? Resist him in the name of Jesus. And then run away from dangerous spots. Run away from the... As I close, I want to give you this brief illustration. I think that's my last point. Yes, I want to give you this brief... Once I heard this preacher man, was a black church, and he was preaching on Joseph. And you know Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I always call her Mrs. Potiphar. And you know she was trying to tempt Joseph, right? And she was trying. So he was preaching to men. But we were all invited. It was a men's day. You know, they have these big men's days at AME church. And he said to the men, he was preaching to them, he says, because Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph ran away. He did not sin. He ran away from her because she really wanted him, even though she was married to. So he was preaching to the men, and he says, listen, if you find yourself in a hotel room and there's a woman in there who, you know, you get yourself in a place where there's a woman who is not your wife. He was talking to the married man. And he says, you're getting enticed. Don't go down on your knee to pray. You first run and get away and then pray. Do not go down on your knees and start praying. Because while you're praying, you may end up doing what you don't want to do. Run first, and when you run, then go pray. Amen? So we got to run from sin. Run from temptation. Run from it. And then pray. Amen? That's what you got to do, because you may not be strong enough to, I'm going to push her off. Or that could happen to women. Same thing for us. You got to run. And then pray. Right? So when we're tempted, run and then pray. Amen? And this is our time during Lent to ponder on these things. And no matter what, remember that the Lord is with you. No matter what, Jesus was tempted and he overcame every temptation, and so can we, because he is with us. Amen? That's why I keep myself away from people. When people says, we have somebody who could... There's a young lady from Africa, and she may, you know, she needed a place to stay, pastor. I says, no, I'll pay for her hotel. She's not staying in my house. Because somebody may come and they're crazy. And I don't know how crazy they are, and guess what happens? We may have to get into a fight. You know, you don't know people, you stay away. Because you don't want to make trouble for yourself. Right? Thanks be to God. Amen. And so during this Lent, it's just beginning. I hope you have these points. I'm using them to remind me that I have to what? Flee from the devil. See how I preach this today? He got a plan for me inside. He probably has somebody bringing me some ice cream. Who knows? You know, he probably has Zamza making some Indian sweets to bring to my house. And she says, I got these Indian sweets, pastor. And she's going to make me some nice Indian sweets, and I'm going to be looking at it, and my hands will be trembling. You understand? But Zamzam, I'm going to flee. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me blesses holy name. Amen.